So today we're going to go directly to the fifth reading. Chapter 39 of Parshas Vayeshev. Return to the saga of Yosef. Vayeshev, hurad mitzrayma. Yosef was brought down into Egypt. Vayiknehu Potiphar. He was purchased on the slave market by Potiphar, who was Siris Parai, an officer of the Pharaoh, Sar HaTabochim, the officer of butchery. He was the royal purveyor of meat. Although there are other opinions that he was actually the chief executioner, but Rashi seems to favor the idea that he was a meat purveyor. And I guess food was a very big deal for people those days, especially for pharaohs. He was an Ishmitzri. He was a purebred Egyptian man. And he bought him a Yad Ishmaelim from the hands of the Ishmaelites, Asher Hayridu Shama, who had brought him down there. It's really interesting to note that the reading begins with Yosef Hurad. Hurad means brought down, not Yorad, not he went down, but Hurad, brought down. Something else brought him down. And then we emphasize at the end of the Pasuk, Asher Hayridu Hu. The Ishmaelites who had brought him down, Shama, there into Egypt. So why doesn't it say Yorad? So Reb Avram and Rambam says to emphasize to you that this was not the will of Joseph in any way, shape, or form. He was not trying to get away from the situation. He was not trying to escape his family. He was Hurad. He was brought down. He didn't want to be there, not for one moment. The Daz Zakenu in the Bali HaTosfos says this is a euphemism and a reference to what we discussed earlier, that the entire saga is being orchestrated from on high. Remember we learned, Me'emek Chevron, from the depth of Chevron? And Rashi tells us, but Chevron is not in an emek, it's not in a valley. It's on a mountain, it's on the hills. And Rashi answered, Me'emek, from the Oysa, means from the Eitza Amuka, Shal Oysa Tzadik, from the deep idea, for the deep ideal of that tzaddik. And that's the first of Avram Avinu. And it's a reference to Bris Ben Absorim, to the covenant of the parts, the idea that Ger Yezaracha Be'eretz Le'lohem, that your progeny, your seed, will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And that that will be a necessary requisite for the transformation of a family into a nation, into Am Yisrael. The Daz Zakenim used the following metaphor. They said there was once a situation where the Sheikhet wanted to shecht a big cow, but the cow refused to submit himself. So what did the Sheikhet do? He led the small calf in the front, and the mother cow, having maternal instinct, followed the small calf. And then after he had been in the compromising place, that's when the butchering took place. And so, similarly speaking, we have this idea that Yosef is brought down into Mitzrayim. Why is he brought down into Mitzrayim? Because it's through the child that the parents will follow. Only because Yosef was brought down, this is why Yaakov eventually and the rest of the family would come down into Mitzrayim. And that is why the Torah uses these words and this tense. We Yosef Hurad, Asher Hayriduhu. We emphasize that this is being orchestrated. Nothing here at this point is happening with Yosef's own free will. Now, that's the case now. However, you'll see, eventually Yosef gets comfortable, and during the tenure of a decade, eventually he starts to feel comfortable. And that, of course, creates issues, challenges, and problems, as we will see. So Rashi says, V'Yosef Hurad. We had this diversion, a big interruption. We went off on a story about Yehuda, and Tamar, and children, and a family, children dying, children being born. Says Rashi, Chayzer L'Inyan Rishon. At this point, we return to the original narrative, original storyline. Elo. Shehifsik bai, the storyline of Yosef, which is how the parsha begins, was interrupted with the story of Yehuda. Why? Why not tell one story at a time? Why does the Torah all of a sudden close the curtains on one screen, take us to a side screen, show us a sideshow, and then go back to the main stage? What was the point of that interruption? Understood that that might be relevant, meaningful, important, has lessons for us. All right, so but tell one story at a time. Why break up a story in the middle? It says, Yosef was sold to the Egyptians to the Midianites, who sold him to the Ishmaelites. We didn't even know what happened. He's brought down to Mitzrayim. And then all of a sudden, this curtain closes. We have a whole new scene open up. It's a long story. It's a long story with Yehuda himself marrying, and then having children, and raising a family, and then his wife dying, and then marrying all his children off, and then them dying, and then not giving his third child in marriage, and Yehuda with this very strange incident with a harlot. Agan Samaisa. This like has to span easily 20 years or so. And yet, we like interrupted the story. We went in a different direction for 20 years, and then we came back to the original story. So Rashi says that too is part of the lesson. In order to juxtapose the descent of Yehuda, and the descent meaning the descent away from Yaakov, away from his brothers, what seems to be moral depravity, that's a descent. It's not who Yehuda really was and should be. Why did this happen? It all happened because of the sale of Yosef. Why Yehuda? There was a whole family, a whole gaggle of brothers. Only Binyamin wasn't present. So loymar lecha to tell you, shebishviloi, ultimately it was because of Yosef in that story, shehayiduhu, that the rest of the brothers demoted Yehuda migdulasi from his greatness. And that tells you that Yehuda was a very, very powerful mover and shaker. Ultimately, he may not have been the eldest, but he was the one who called the shots. Not Reuven, not even Shimon and Levi. Everybody looked up to Yehuda, which helps you understand Yehuda's place, how he is the one to be the progenitor of monarchy. He is the one in the end who leads his brothers. And when it comes to the story of the reunification of the family of Yaakov, who leads the pack? Yehuda. That's not a later development. It was always the case. The chief perpetrator, the one who is most responsible, is ultimately the one who puts it back together. It's Yehuda who takes it as responsibility. True, Shimon threw Yosef into the bar. That's true. He manhandled him. But in the end, it's the architect. Who was the mastermind? Yehuda was always the mastermind. He was the one who called the shots. So that's number one. We would never know that. The only way we can know that is in the fact that the Torah interrupted the story of Yosef, went off on a tangent, that says, why did Torah do that? Why did Torah continue the original story? And the only answer has to be is because we want to juxtapose Yehuda's lifestyle change, Yehuda's relocation, to the story of Yosef. And then that's the logical conclusion. But that's not enough. There's yet another story. And the other story is because Lismech Maisa Ishtoi Shel Potiphar LeMaisa Tamar, to juxtapose the story of Potiphar's wife to the story of Tamar. Loimer Lecha, to tell you, Mazu, just as Tamar, L'shem Shamayim, she did everything for the sake of heaven. This was not about a selfish trip. This was not about somebody who was seeking indulgence and pleasure and libido, but rather it was a heavenly motivated thing. She wanted to serve Hashem. And actually what Tamar did in the end was right. But Sherasa, so too also, Afzu, this wife of Potiphar, was also doing the same thing, but she did the wrong thing in the name of heaven. And how often do people do the wrong thing in the name of heaven? How many sins are being committed by people who are saying, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing a holy thing. I'm a tzaddik. Right? Like the Rebbe Rashab famously said, that you can have a Yetzer Hara who is a Hasidish Yetzer Hara. He wears a kapata, has a big gartel. He comes to you and he tells you ideas, Hasidic ideas, but it's bluff. It's all a bunch of baloney. It's an obfuscation. It's ultimately a direct opposition and a rebellion against Hashem. However, people convinced themselves. Potiphar's wife convinced herself, and there's a very important lesson there, that we shouldn't convince ourselves that we're doing the right thing when in fact we're doing a profoundly wrong thing. And where did she get this crazy idea that having an affair with Yosef would be L'shem Shamayim? How do you justify that? That's ridiculous. So, Rashi tells us, Rasha b'itstrologin shalah. She saw by using the zodiac and various astronomical calculations, what they call seeing in the stars. She saw she'asido lahamid banim mimenu. She saw that she was destined to establish a family through Yosef. And so, since she was looking in the heavens, l'shem shamayim, it's the heavens, the stars are telling the story. It's not me. Okay, there was a little lust here too, maybe a lot of lust, but still, it's a story in the heavens. The heavens, the stars, God is telling the story. And this, of course, becomes the question. Why did the heavens tell that story? But she didn't realize imimena, imibita, for her, or from what is, according to most opinions, her adopted daughter. Osnas is the daughter of Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, but really she was adopted as a little baby. Osnas is, according to most opinions, the daughter of Dina. The daughter of Dina, who was in danger for a variety of reasons, was spirited out of the country by Yaakov, ends up in Potiphar's hands, but Hashem watches over his children. And in the end, it's Osnas, the daughter of Dina, who marries her uncle, who's Yosef, who's only about 9 years older than him. So that was her motivation. And those are two reasons why the Torah interrupts the story of Tamar. Not one, two good reasons as to why we interrupt the narrative. Okay, so let's talk about Yosef. Verse 2, Vayihi Hashem es Yosef. God is with Yosef. Vayihi ish matzliach. And he is a successful man. Vayihi beveis adonav. He is in the home of his master, Hamitzri, the Egyptian. Very interesting. Rashi doesn't say anything, but is telling and compelling that three times we have the word Vayihi in the same verse. I'm not sure that there is another verse in the entire Torah that has Vayihi, Vayihi, Vayihi three times in a row. And the question then becomes, what is up with the Vayihi? Vayihi, God is with Yosef. Vayihi, ish matzliach. Vayihi, and he is bebeis adonav Hamitzri, within the Egyptian's home with him. So we have an explanation, many explanations from other Rishonim. The Radak says that the three times of Vayihi indicate that God was with Yosef on every level and in every situation. Number one, he was successful. Yosef was successful. He had the Midas touch. Whatever he would have come in contact with would turn to gold, so to speak. He was like what we call a bar mazel. You know, somebody says sometimes, I had mazel, everything worked exactly according to plan, which it never does, of course. Everything worked exactly as it should. So that's mazel. Hashem is with me. So Yosef, whatever he did, he had mazel. Hashem was with him. That's number one. The second vayihi is matzliach beis adonav. Around him, for his master, things started going well. Yosef was like a good luck charm. Ever since Yosef came to the household, everything in the household started going well. Somehow, if Yosef was remotely connected to it, or is in proximity, things went well. And lastly, it wasn't only for things in the household, but everything in the house itself, not only for his master, but in general, this was infectious. Since Yosef came, everybody involved in the household, not just Potiphar's master, everybody seemed to have this incredible stroke, a string of luck. Everything was just going fantastic. And that was Yosef. He brought with him the presence of Hashem and an incredible bracha. Vayar Adonav, and his master saw, ki Hashem itai, he saw God is with him. V'chol asher hu oisa, and anything that he puts his hand to, anything he does, Hashem matzliach, God makes it successful. Rashi says, ki Hashem itai. So Rashi says, what does it mean, God is with him? It means that Yosef always invoked the name of God. Shem Shomayim Shogur Befiv. He was constantly saying, as a Jew says, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem, thank God, please God, by the grace of God, B'siyata D'shmaya, with the help of heaven, and so on and so forth. And so, everything goes amazing. Vayimtza Yosef Chein, Yosef finds grace and charisma in the eyes, Be'enov, in his master's eyes, Vayishor Asayisay, he serves him. Ve'yafkidehu al beisa, he appoints him over his household. V'chol yesh lo nasam b'yodei, everything that he has, he gave into his hands. V'chol yesh lo is an unusual expression. Rashi acknowledges that. He says l'shein kotzer, it's a shorthand method of speaking. It would, in Hebrew, the word asher should have shown up, like v'chol asher yesh lo, everything which he had. But sometimes we speak in shorthand. In Canada, we do the same thing with English. Very much not like the States. I noticed this when I moved there. People say, for example, so-and-so is in hospital, not in the hospital. Or people say is they're on cell phone, not on the cell phone. So when I first moved here, I noticed people speak like that. And this is the same kind of idea, that sometimes in language, there are shortcuts that are chosen, certain words are dropped, and so on and so forth. People speak like behaving in same fashion, not in the same fashion. So same thing here, instead of asher, we drop that. So here's the big question. What is the meaning of God is with him? What's the meaning of God is with him? How do we understand it in verse 2 when we say God is with him? We understand that everything goes phenomenally well. He has a lot of hatzlacha. And yet, in verse 3, how does Rashi interpret it? What does it mean God is with him? God is with him, not that God is with him, but that Yosef is with God. Shem Shemayim Shagar Befiv. Rashi rotates around 360 degrees. God is with him means everything goes amazing for him. God is blessing him. Rashi says no. Shem Shemayim Shagar Befiv. God is with him means Yosef is with God. Shem Shemayim Shagar Befiv. He's always mentioning and invoking the name, the presence, the blessing of God. The question is, why did Rashi do that for? And anyway, if that's what means God's with him, why didn't Rashi tell it to us right away in verse 2? Why did he wait to verse 3? And interestingly, none of the other commentators say this. Nobody else says God is with him, keeps invoking the name of God. Everybody else simply suggests that God is with him means God is with him, the way you would understand it to be. In fact, it seems that Rashi removes this verse from its literal meaning, from the way any child would understand the verse, that God is with him. Somebody say, God is with me. Just be God is with me. I'm having a great time. Everything's going well. I'm having unbelievable blessings. And instead we say, no, God is with you means you're with God, that you live with God consciousness, that you're always thinking of God, not only is in your mind or in your heart, it's even on your lips. And everybody else knows about it too. So that is the question. In order to answer this question, we're going to go to our Biurim book. And you'll join me on page Reish Yud Zayin, Simin Lamed Vav, the 36th entry here under Parshas Vayeshev. And the Rebbe asks this very question. Tzoruch Biur, this needs to be better understood. Madua ein Rashi Mefarish Esakosav Kipshutei. Why would Rashi not explain the verse in its most literal iteration? She Yosef Hitzliach, that Yosef was technically successful. And why was he technically successful? Why did everything go really well? Because Hashem Hoya Be'ezrei, because God was helping him. Instead, Rashi rotates the meaning and makes it something about Yosef's behavior, which really does not seem to make sense. What motivated Rashi? What forced his hand in this commentary? Yisei Demizu. Truth be told, the plot thickens. It's even stranger. Bituyim doimim mefiim gam bepasuk akoidim. In verse 2, there are similar expressions. In fact, we say the word three times, vayihi. And there, it doesn't say, Rashi says nothing. Rashi doesn't say, oh, vayihi, 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 that he kept mentioning God's name. Rashi doesn't say anything. And when it comes to later on, behemshech haparsha, which is, jump forward to verse 23, where it says, Yosef talks about Yosef in prison. And over there it says, quote, Ein sar beis hasoyar, roya es kol me'uma, the jailer, the one who was responsible for the entire facility, or the penitentiary. So he, it says, did not see anything, biyade ba'asher Hashem itay, because Yosef was, Hashem was with Yosef. So the jailer didn't even get involved. He was going out on vacation. He was having fun. Why should he get involved? Yosef ran all the affairs for him. Yosef took care of everything. Life was great. Things were easy for him. Rashi doesn't say anything about Shem Shemayim. He doesn't say this is about Joseph. He says, or about Joseph's behavior, or about Joseph's commitment, or Joseph's loyalty, or Joseph's invoking of Hashem's name. What's it about? It's about Hashem being with Yosef. It's about him having unbelievable hatzlacha. So the Rebbe explains, via Shleimar, Shasiba l'kachu, the reason that Rashi seems to go away from the literal, straightforward understanding. And the reason that Rashi seems to reach for something that is not in the natural line of vision when you look at this verse is because there is a kushi hamis'oirer, there is a question that rises specifically in this verse, specifically verse 3, a question that does not show up in verse 2, a question that does not appear in verse 23. What's the question? The question is the words Vayar Adonov. His master saw. What does master see? Vayar Adonov ki Hashem itoy. His master saw that God was with him. How did his master know that God was with him? Minayin yodah Petifar. How did Petifar know liyaches es hatzlachosei shol Yosef laHashem? How did he know to attribute this to God? Harei Petifar Hoya, Petifar was kichol mitzah mitzriyim, like all Egyptians, in Eved Aved Azara. He was an idolater. Who did he worship? The Nile River he worshipped. Sheep, cats. They didn't worship God. So if a person is an idolater and things go well, who does the idolater thank? The idol. The idol, of course. So Potiphar should have said, oh, the idol is with you. The Nile is with you, Joseph. The force is with you. Who's the force? The Vulcan. I don't know. Whatever idol he worshipped. So when he says the force is with you, he wouldn't say God is with you. He would say the force is with you. Now, you could ask the same question about Avimelech. Avimelech, it says, saw that Yitzchak, if you remember going back a few parshiot ago, and parshas told us, Avimelech saw God is with Yitzchak, so he came and sued for peace. So if you can ask the question, and how did Avimelech know that God is with him? The Rebbe says the answer is very simple, because actually Avimelech did have a God experience, a God revelatory experience. Remember, he had a dream, God came to him, so he had a prophecy. Because he took Sarah, no great mitzvah. Hashem did it to save Sarah, not to reward him with prophecy. But he knew God. He had an experienced God. So when a person experiences a prophecy, which is beyond what anybody in this room ever experienced, it's not so strange that he would know that Yitzchak's Hatzlacha comes from God. Especially because Yitzchak was an open Jew, living openly, preaching about God, speaking about God. Yosef is a slave. Yosef does not have any position. He's not known as the Jew. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody ever heard of a Jew. He's just a freak job who got sold into slavery. A very handsome one, a very talented one. But just like a kid. Nobody knew he was the Jew. He didn't have a soapbox. He didn't have a pulpit. Yitzchak had all those things. And yet, Potiphar somehow knows that it's connected to God. That makes no sense. You want to tell me that God is with Yosef? That's easy to accept. But that God is with Yosef, Potiphar saw that God's with Yosef. That's the problem. The problem is not what is the meaning of God is with Yosef. The problem is what is the meaning of Potiphar saw that God is with Yosef. Is that the question? And interestingly, later on when Moshe Rabbeinu shows up in the Pharaoh and he says, I have a message from God, how does God, Pharaoh respond to Moshe? He says, Lo yadati asavaya. I never heard of him. Can I see him? Has he made an appointment to see me? Never heard of him. Denial. That was the Egyptian attitude. Total denial. God? I never heard of God. If the Pharaoh said it, why wouldn't the Potiphar, who was one of his close inner circle, have the same approach, same attitude? V'lochein, it's precisely because of this very big question that is provoked specifically in verse 3 that Rashi says, you know what the meaning of that Hashem is with him? It means Shem Shemayim Shogu B'Fiv. It means Yosef was always invoking the name of God. Because at every moment Yosef constantly was mentioning the name of God. So since that was the case, Yoda Potiphar, Potiphar knew Yaches Elov is Hatzlachas Yosef. He said, I don't know what this Yosef has. The guy has got rabbit's foot and horseshoes. Everything he does is a bullseye. Everything works out exactly. Murphy does not live in his house. He doesn't have any bad luck. And he started to think, what is unique about Yosef? What does Yosef do the others don't do? Checked out his keychain. No rabbit's foot. It's not that. Horseshoes? No horseshoes. Worships idols? Never saw him come with us. He never went once. But the one thing he did notice is Yosef was always talking about this God. He's always saying, please God. He's always saying, thank God. He's always saying, by the help of God, by the grace of God. He said, he's always speaking about this God. And he's so successful. So he put two and two together. Why is he so successful? It must be because of God. So Yosef's behaving as a Yid should behave, speaking about God, is ultimately what led Potiphar to recognize God. And this, my friends, explains the pasuk in a very, very amazing way. Hapsukim o'achedim, the other verses which we mentioned, Vayi Hashem es Yosef, God is with Yosef, or Ba'asher, Ba'asher Hashem ite, God is with him, Lo'umazayis, those psukim, in very sharp contrast, Oiskim betir hatzachosah shel Yosef kishla atzma, they speak to the success of Yosef. The success of Yosef being from God needs no elucidation, interpretation, or commentary. V'loi kefishin esparsho be'eini hametziyim. It's not, over there, it's not described how the Egyptians interpreted Yosef's success. Over there, it's how the Torah comments and shares with you, tells you about Yosef's success. But here, in this unique verse, the Torah talks to you not about Yosef's success per se, but rather about his master's noticing, understanding, appreciating the origin, the source of his success. That's another story. V'lachem b'psukim elo, the other verses in Sibul Shanis es mashmoy sapshuta. Why would Rashi go out on a limb and change the meaning from its literal, straightforward meaning? It's like the meaning is the meaning. You don't need any new meanings. You don't need to rotate anything. You don't need to take this away from God and put it onto Yosef. Obviously, God is making Yosef successful. But this verse speaks about Egyptians recognizing. It's Potiphar recognizing. He saw that God is with Yosef. Ah, that's another story. The only way that he could have seen that is Shem Shamayim Shogar Befiv. You know, the holy Baal Shem Tov taught that the fact that a Yid always says Baruch Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem, that that's A, because the presence of Hashem is something that we're all aware of, subconsciously, subliminally, but also that by doing so, we spread the name of Hashem. So wherever you do, all you have to say is simple words. Say the same thing, business, interaction, but everything you do, what do you say? Please God. Speak about God. When we speak about Hashem all the time, then that creates a wave of God consciousness, and that hopefully will catalyze and bring the rest of Yutis Kislev to its fruition, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and the era of global God consciousness, B'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.